raising their kids, maybe going off every weekend to hunt and kill something. It may be playing golf, but it's not work. And so they come to your workplace and to their work from a totally different position than you do. Then add to that the wealth and power differential that you can't take away. So if you work for me, no matter how well I pay you, and I've always overpaid, and I believe in that, and that's a whole separate topic of conversation. But no, if I paid you double the going rate, for example, to come and work as my secretary, or as a writer, or as a, you name the job occupation, you are still going to be so distant from where I am financially, and it's not going to be invisible. Now, I don't personally go out of my way to make it dramatically visible, but a lot of business owners, it's very visible. The dentist he gets a new car every year. His dental assistant gets a new car every 5 years. He's got a Jaguar, a Bentley, and a Cadillac Escalade. She has a Ford Taurus. He takes 4 vacations with his whole family, including a cruise. She packs up the kids and goes and spends a weekend at the mother-in-law's. I mean, it's pretty visible. And a lot of our people, of course, it's really visible. They're got, Ted Thomas just told me Ron LaGrange just got delivery of his newest plane. You know, his Citation jet.
This is third plane?
I think so.
Wow.
Well, see, his employees haven't got a jet. And they're never going to get a jet working for him, even if he overpays them. So there's an enormous wealth differential, and then there's an enormous power differential. I can fire you. You can't fire me. Well, that's pretty simple and obvious, isn't it? And so power and wealth differentials breed resentment. It's impossible for them not to. No matter how you try and make it invisible, no matter how nice you are, it's still there. It is, in a sense, the stinky, smelly, unwashed elephant in the room.
And also, it doesn't make any difference how hard the owner works.
No, I tried that one. I tried, by demonstration, making them feel better by killing myself. I tried that.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. It makes no difference.
No, it doesn't. You've probably already answered this to some degree, but you and I talk all the time about how leadership speakers and authors are always trying to teach everybody how that they should get the employees to think that they have ownership of the company. And you say this is total BS.
Yeah, I mean, and that keeps coming back around. It was popular in the 70s, and then it was popular in the 90s, and there are people running around teaching ownership mentality. Well, the only way to have ownership mentality is be an owner. And then it's about a 50-50 proposition. I mean, look, we got business owners that don't have ownership mentality, let alone their employees.
The blind leading the blind.
You know, you're not going to give them ownership mentality in a seminar, and you're not going to get it done with pins and banners and posters. Ownership mentality requires ownership, so it's bullshit. I mean, they have an employee mentality because they're an employee, and to expect them to have any other mentality is setting yourself up for disaster. Now, what you have to do is, with a realistic understanding of their mentality and their view of what their job and their work is all about, you've got to create an environment that optimizes the value you derive from them. And when there's an occasional exceptional person, hopefully you have some kind of advancement track for them, and you can treat them differently than the rank and file. Who are doing the bulk of the grunt work. But you take the 5 gals at the front desk in a dental office, or you take the service technician in an auto repair shop,